This man had a career that spanned 47, 48 years, probably stellar in his own person and in his career. He is famed and noted around the nation. One decision tainted his entire career. Joe Paterno, probably the winningest coach of all time, had five teams that had a no loss, complete victories. The whole season was victories. Five of his teams. He was the only coach to have won in all, you know, in all the major bowls. And he's won in every single one of these major bowl games. When Mike McCreary came to him and said, "I saw Jerry Sandusky in the shower with a 10-year-old boy doing some things that were not right," Joe Paterno was hit with a decision. What do I do? What do I do about Jerry Sandusky? He doesn't go to Jerry Sandusky, except to say, "Don't bring any more kids." But Jerry Sandusky continued. But he goes to his seniors at the university and says to them, "I think that, you know, somebody saw Jerry Sandusky." He doesn't call the police. Nobody called the police. Not for a while. That decision tainted Joe Paterno and his entire life. There was another man. He's a radio broadcaster out in Los Angeles on one of the most popular stations in Los Angeles. And he got in a car accident. He was coming on to do talk radio. He's coming in for the evening to do his talk radio show. But what happened was he got in a car accident. He's late now for his appearance at his radio studio. He's got to get to the radio studio, get on the air. So what he did was he left the scene. He called his wife and said, "Honey, you come over here and deal with these people, you know, to give them our insurance and all that. And I'm headed off. I've got to get to the radio studio." He left. His wife came and they said, "Well, where is he?" The police came. "Where is he?" Well, he went to the radio studio. That decision, while he was sitting in the radio studio broadcasting, the police came in, arrested him while he was on the air. He had a stellar career in Los Angeles area of a radio talk show host. He was on every night on one of the most popular stations. He was arrested. He lost his job. Joe Paterno was fired from his job last November. Tainted their whole career. One decision. One decision. You make a decision every day. One decision. The most glorious king. The most glorious king in the human sense of Israel. The king who's going to be king over the whole nation of Israel when they come together again. Judah and Israel will be one. They will come under King David. One decision by King David cost him greatly. Lots of suffering in his family. Lots of suffering. He walks out on the... He was up on the roof. He looks down. He sees a woman bathing. He comes in. She was beautiful to look upon, the Bible says. And he says, "Who is that woman down there? Who is that woman?" They said, "That's Bathsheba, the wife of Uriah, the Hittite." The next thing, David sends men down, summons her. He doesn't just, you know, "You're invited." It's a summons. "You get here to the castle." She comes to the castle. He sleeps with her. He sends her home. In a week or two, she lets him know that she is expecting. Now he's got another decision. Oh, no. She's expecting. What's going to happen? She's going to die in Israel because they're going to say, "You've been playing the harlot while your husband was in the war." He knows that meant death for her, so he makes another decision. "I've got to call Uriah back." So he sends a note to Joab, the king, the army, they're fighting the Ammonites, and Send Uriah the Hittite back here. I want to report on the war. So here comes Uriah. How's the war going? Well, we're fighting on the front lines. And okay, well, while you're here, why don't you go down and visit your wife? He says, I can't go down. I can't go to my home. I can't go with men fighting on the front lines. I can't do that. Well, David says, well, look, come on in. David got him drunk, you know, fed him a lot, get him drunk. Figured he'll go on down now. He'll wander on down to his wife. Nope. He sleeps on the steps. So David had another decision. One decision. He writes a note. Seals it in an envelope. Take this to your commander. The note said, place this man in the very fiercest part of the battle in the front line, and then withdraw your support troops from him. And so he did. And the next note came back to David. The thing that you had asked about, the matter that you wanted regarding Uriah the Hittite, has been taken care of. In other words, Uriah is dead. That one decision. He had decisions. You have decisions. Every one of us has a decision every single day. Judas Iscariot's decision was disastrous. I think I'll betray him. For 30 pieces of silver, I'll betray him. So what are you willing to do? Let me talk to you about, and you know, the Bible says this. This is in the book of Ecclesiastes, chapter 10, verse 1. It goes like this. I'm reading this from the New English Translation. It goes, one dead fly makes the perfumer's ointment give off a rancid stench. So a little folly can outweigh much wisdom. And some translations say wisdom and honor. A little folly, one bad decision. We have a funeral going on today, Whitney Houston's funeral. And all the things that are happening and the people that want to sing and the people that want to praise and one decision. Let me tell you what your several decisions. Here are the biggest decisions of your life. Two decisions that will determine the happiness, the prosperity, the welfare of your life. Your marriage, who you marry, and what you do for a living. Those two decisions are going to have more effect on your physical life. Now, I'm not talking about a spiritual life. We'll talk about that in a minute. On your physical life. Whitney Houston picked the wrong man. He beat her. He introduced her to drugs. She continued with him. It has cost her her life. A lot of misery in between. People do. They pick wrong people. They make the wrong decision. And you have a decision made. Every one of us, we're making decisions every day. You notice just that one accident decision? How about people who hit a kid on the street and then they get so panicky, they leave the scene of a crime. Now, what would ordinarily be an accident, of course, they're going to have to stand responsible for it, now becomes a criminal act and they get arrested and put in jail. One decision. Split decisions, sometimes in an instant. But there's one decision that was the biggest decision that has affected all of us. The single one biggest decision. You know, this decision is based on, and I believe that we'll understand, we'll see here, all sin, all decision for sin is a form of idolatry. Is it any wonder when God made the Ten Commandments, he said, what did he say? What's the first commandment? What is the first commandment? You shall have what? No other gods before me. You're not going to have them ahead of me. No other gods. But idolatry is just that. You put something else in the place of God, or you put you in the place of God. Now, when Adam was created, in the book of Genesis, chapter 1, verses 26 through 28, this is what God said when he created He created God, a man in God's image. It goes like this. Then God said, after the creation, let us make man in our image, according to our likeness. But listen to the rest of it. And let them, meaning mankind, humankind, male and female, rule over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the sky, over the cattle, and over all the earth. And listen to this last little statement. And over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth. A specific thing. I mean, first of all, you're saying everything on the earth. And then you're saying, and every creeping thing. And so it says, God made man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created them. And this is the verse 28 again. A repeat. So God blessed them. God said to them, be fruitful and multiply. Verse 28, and fill the earth. I'm reading from the New American Standard Version, so you know if your translation is a little different. God bless them. Be fruitful and multiply. Fill the earth. Listen to this. And subdue it. And rule over it. Rule over the fish of the sea, over the birds, and over every living thing that moves on the earth. Rule over it. In other words, Adam was to rule over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth. He was God's, in a sense, vice regent, vice ruler over the earth, putting you here to rule over it, to have some power over it. But what do we see? God created the garden. He puts man in this beautiful paradise. The Garden of Eden is the paradise of God. He's here. He's got all this power. He's to rule over everything. And he and his wife have rule over all these trees. God says, of all the trees, you may freely eat, except this one tree. Don't eat of it, because in the day you eat thereof, you shall surely die. The lady is walking through, she and her husband, and she sees a snake in the garden. Now, what's a snake doing in the garden? What was Adam told? Rule over every what? Creeping thing. Snakes creep along, you know. Rule over them. Get rid of it. No, she says, and the snake says, the serpent and the tree says, what? Hey, did God say you couldn't eat of any of the trees? Oh, no, she said, God said we could eat of all the trees, except that one there in the middle of the garden, that one we're not to eat of, because God said if in the day we eat thereof, we'll surely die. And what's the serpent say? You shall not surely die. You know, God knows better than that. You'll not die. And the fact is, when you eat of that, your eyes will be open. You will be able to be like, you'll be like God, knowing good from evil. Now what that means is this. It's not that you shouldn't know the difference between good and evil. That's not what it means. It means you're like God determining what is good and what is evil. You now have set yourself up as judge over what's good. You know, today, the whole society, our whole society in America, it's like we don't know what's good. We don't, is this good? Is that good? Is this the good thing? Is that a good thing? We kind of figure it out, what's good. And so we set ourselves up as the arbiters of what's good. We don't know what's good. And therefore, that's God's prerogative to determine what is good and what is bad, not man's prerogative. But you can be like God. Knowing, determining, deciding what's good and what's evil. So here's the serpent, and he says, you know, and by the way, the serpent was crafty. No doubt about it, the serpent's crafty, right? Bible says that in Genesis chapter 3:1. Now the serpent was more crafty than any beast of the field which the eternal God had made. And he said to the woman, indeed, has God said, you shall not eat of any tree of the garden? He's crafty. He lured her with this question. Did God tell you couldn't eat of any? Oh, no, that's not what God said. God said we can eat of any, just this one. Because God said, when we eat of that, we'll die. Oh, no, you're not going to surely die. Don't. Now, who do you believe? You believe God? Or do you believe the snake, the serpent, which we now know is Satan the devil? So what he did, instead of kicking the serpent out, Adam standing there, she then says, oh, yeah, well, that looks good for food. That looks wonderful. And desire to make one wise, I can be like God. We can decide what's right and wrong. So she took of the tree. She gave it to her husband. He says, okay, I'll eat it. They worshipped the snake. Or they worshipped themselves. They worshipped themselves. Because I want it. I want to be like God. I will be like God. You know, there are two ways to be like God, you know. One is to resemble God by trusting him and obeying him and imitating his character. That's one way. The other way was not the good way, but the blasphemous way. The way to arrogate to himself the authority to make ethical law, to decide what's right and what's wrong, that's only God's prerogative. So we see what happened. They then began to worship. They began to worship the devil. Now, when you worship and put an idol in place of God, I don't care what idol it is, there's an interesting statement in the scriptures that something's going to happen to you. When you put yourself or anything before God, something is going to happen to you. Don't believe it? Let's read it. What's going to happen to you when you put something before God? In the book of Psalms 115, beginning in verse 4, the Bible is talking about idolaters. He's talking about their idols. Their idols are silver and gold, the work of man's hands. They have mouths, but they cannot speak. They have eyes, but they cannot see. They have ears, but they cannot hear. The idols. You know, you set up an idol. You know, you think Moloch could see? He can't walk, he can't talk, he can't smell, he can't see, he can't do anything. They have noses, but they cannot smell. They have hands, but they cannot feel. They have feet, but they cannot walk. They cannot make a sound with their throat. That's the idol. See, people set up an idol. Listen to verse 8. Those who make them will become like them. Everyone who trusts in them. Here's what happens when you worship an idol, when you put an idol in front of God, you become like the idol. You understand that? You become like the idol. That's what it says. Look at it. It's repeated. This is not the only place. Look what here. Psalm 30, 135, 135th Psalm, beginning in verse 15. The idols of the nations are but silver and gold, the work of man's hands. They have mouths, but they do not speak. They have eyes, but they do not see. They have ears, but they do not hear. Nor is there any breath at all in their mouths. Listen to verse 18, Psalm 135, verse 18. Those who make them will be like them. Yes, everyone who trusts in them. What did Israel do? They went after idols. What did Israel do? What did the people do? They made their idols. What did the Pharisees do? What did the Sadducees do? What did the nation of Israel do? They went after idols. They put their religion, their thing above God and the truth of the scriptures. Our traditions are first. The scripture is last. And what did Jesus say about them? Well, they have ears. Remember that? In the parables. The parable, they have ears, but they can't hear. They have eyes, they cannot see. You become like the idol. And what did Adam do? And let's read the rest of it, verse 19. O house of Israel, bless the Eternal. O house of Aaron, bless the Eternal. O house of Levi, bless the Eternal. You who revere the Eternal, bless the Eternal. Bless the Eternal from Zion, those who dwell in Jerusalem, praise the Eternal. In other words, put God first. But they didn't put God first. They put God last. And Adam did too. And if you worship the snake, you listen, because you trusted the snake, the serpent, the devil, more than you trusted God's word. God said, don't eat of it. In the day you eat of it, you will surely die. The devil said, you won't. Where do you put your trust? Where do you put your trust? Where's first? What's first for you? Some people make an idol out of themselves. Their own lusts, their own desires become the idol. Yeah, the serpent was crafty. The serpent was deceitful. The serpent said to the woman, what is this? And then when he finishes, God says to the woman, what have you done? He says to Adam, what have you done? Now, what did they do? They heard God calling, Adam, where are you? They went and they hid themselves. And he says to God, I heard the sound of you walking there, and I hid myself because I was naked. And God said, who told you you were naked? Have you eaten of the tree? This is Genesis 3. You know Genesis 3, 9 through 12. Have you eaten of the tree of which I commanded you not to eat? Now listen how deceitful he becomes. All of a sudden, you're just like the idol you worshipped. You're deceitful. Well, he says, now he's asked a direct question. Have you eaten of the tree which I commanded you not to eat? And what does he say? The woman whom you gave me to be with me, she gave me of the tree and I ate it. Well, I've got to tell you the reason. I mean, you're a woman, God. You gave it to me. You made her, you gave it to me, and she gave me the thing, you know, women make your meal, they put it in front of you, what are you supposed to do with it? You're supposed to eat it, you know, women are supposed to provide for it, and you just go ahead and eat it. So it's her fault. Don't ask me, it's not my fault. And fact is, God, it's your fault. You gave me the woman. I have no responsibility. It's not mine. It's the woman. Crafty. Deceitful. Should have been a politician. You know how they do? You ask them a question, they don't answer it. It was just this. If you ask them a question, it's this way. You have a direct question, we talk about that. We talk about this. Should have been a politician, but that's where it starts. He asks us, the woman, verse 13, you remember? Eternal said to the woman, what is this you've done? And she said, the serpent deceived me. The serpent deceived me and I ate it. And again, God, who made the serpent? You did. He deceived me. Now, the New Testament, this tells us what a catastrophe this decision was. If David's decision was bad and had enormous consequences, this decision was worse. This decision was so bad that the New Testament talks about it, and the New Testament does not blame Eve. Does not blame Eve. It says Eve was deceived, but Adam was not deceived. And when the Apostle Paul writes about this in the New Testament, he does not write that it was Eve's fault. Adam knew better. He watched his wife take it and he let her take it. He didn't chase the snake out. He didn't do anything. He stood by and watched this. Take a look at Romans chapter 5. I'm dropping down to verse 12. Romans 5, I'm going to read from the New American Standard Version. It goes like this. Therefore, just as through one man, one decision, one time, one thing here, sin entered into the world, and death through sin. So death spread to all men, because all have sinned. For until the law, sin was in the world. That is, till the giving of the law, the codification of the law, sin was in the world, but sin is not imputed where there's no law. Nevertheless, death reigned from Adam unto Moses, even over those who had not sinned in the same way, in the likeness of the offense of Adam, who was a type of him who was to come. But the free gift, God's free gift, is not like the transgression. For if by the transgression of one, the many died, much more did the grace of God and the gift by the grace of the one man, Jesus Christ, abound to many. The gift is not like that which came through the one who sinned. For on the one hand, the judgment arose from one transgression resulting in condemnation, but on the other hand, the free gift arose from many transgressions resulting in justification. That is righteousness. For if by the transgression of the one, death reigned through the one, much more those who receive the abundance of grace and of the gift of righteousness will reign in the life through the one Jesus Christ. So then, as through one transgression there resulted condemnation to all men, even so through one act of righteousness there resulted justification of life to all men. For as through one man's disobedience the many were made sinners, even so through the obedience of the one, meaning Jesus Christ, the many will be made righteous. Adam was driven out. Get out of the garden. Get out. You're not going to be here anymore. You can't take out the tree of life now. Get out of here. And then he went. And one kid killed the other. And then Cain, you know, started his ways. And then the earth started, and men were driven far from God, and they set up their idols and their worship things, and they went this way and that way, and the whole world is divided into all kinds of evils, and that's what we see. Now, there's a philosophy, a lot of people don't like it. I think it has some good points to it. It's called existentialism. Existentialism. Existentialism is about the fact that you exist. You see some of the philosophies on that. Today is your day. You exist today. You live today. Today is your day. You have a day to make decisions. You have a day that you can do things. You have a day that you can change your mind. You have a day that you can repent. You have a day that you can do love. You have a day. This is your day. In existentialism, you're supposed to have responsibility. You're supposed to take responsibility for your actions. You're supposed to make your choices, your decisions, and take responsibility for that decision. And they consider it deception and bad faith and irresponsibility not to take responsibility for your own decisions. And when God calls you, when the Word of God comes to you, when the grace of God comes to you and you refuse it, that's a decision. Don't say you didn't make the decision. You did. Here in the book of John, John's Gospel, you have these interesting little, this little passage. He was in the world, verse 10, John 1, verse 10. Here was the light. The true light was coming into the world in verse 9. coming into the world to enlighten every man. The true light came to enlighten every man. He was in the world, and the world was made through him. And the world did not know him. Didn't know him. Why? Their eyes were blind. Their ears were blind. They became like the idols that they worshipped. He came to his own, and those who were his own did not receive him. Jesus said it. They can't hear it. They can't hear with their ears. They can't see with their eyes. They can't do it. They become like the idols. They made idols of themselves. But listen to this phrase in verse 12. But as many as received him, to them he gave the right to become the children of God, even to those who believe in his name. Savior. You see? Who were born not of blood, not of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. They were begotten, born, brought forth, not from man, but from God. The Apostle Paul talks about in Colossians, therefore as you have, this is Colossians 2, verse 6, therefore as you have received Christ Jesus the Lord, walk in him. If you receive Christ Jesus the Lord, and Lord means that he's your owner, your master, not you. You have given yourself to him. Philippians chapter 4, verse 9. Do what you have learned and received and heard. You receive something. God gave you something. You can either receive it or you can throw it away. You ever receive things from people? You probably threw some of them away. You got this thing, and you know, you've had it. I don't want it. I don't need this. I don't need this card. I don't need this thing. And, you throw it away. You've received things. Some are valuable and some not so valuable. And you've decided. You made a decision whether you're going to keep it. You made a decision whether you're going to follow it. You made a decision. You've received something. What are you going to do with it? What are you going to do with it? You've received God's calling. You've received Christ Jesus, God's offer to you. How are you going to get back in the garden? You can't get back there on your own. And God made you an offer. The first man blew it. He put the snake ahead of God. He worshipped himself. He went and he became like the idol he worshipped. Deceitful, crafty. Oh, it was the woman that you gave me. And she became like the snake. Oh, it was that snake that you put in the garden. I was deceived by him. 1 Thessalonians. And we also thank God. Listen to this. Listen to this beautiful passage here. Well, let me read Philippians chapter 4, verse 9. Do what you have learned and received and heard and seen in me, and the God of peace will be with you. You know, the Apostle Paul lived. He tried to set an example for the church. He tried to do the right thing. He tried to show love. He tried to do all the things that were right for the church. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 13. A beautiful passage here. An absolutely beautiful passage. And we also thank God constantly for this, that when you received the word of God, to receive the word of God, God's message, God's instruction, God's word to you, when you received the word of God, which you heard from us, you accepted it, not as the word of men, but as what it really is, the word of God. Listen to this last part, which is at work in you believers. When you hear the word of God, when you accept it as the word of God, because you want the word of God now, the word of God, It works in you. It's not a dead thing. I always believe that conversion, turning people's lives around, come when they hear the pure word of God. And when you accept it, it works in you. It does something in you. But you've got to put away the idols. You've got to quit making an idol out of yourself, out of your lusts, out of your desires. You've got to come to God and put God first. And if you ever want to get back to that garden, that great tree of life, there's only one way. God has only offered one way. You either receive Jesus Christ or you don't. It's one decision. Adam made the wrong decision. May we all make the right decision.